everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Impactful Authenticity Podcast. My name is Lucy, and I'm thrilled to have Brenda Harrington with us today. Now, Brenda is the founder of Adaptive Leadership Strategies and is the author of a great book called Access Denied: Addressing Workplace Disparities and Discrimination. On top of that, she's also a certified executive coach, and she works with leaders globally across a variety of sectors to help them develop the professional habits needed for them to achieve their goals. I'm really excited and really curious to see what we can learn from Brenda's experience today. So welcome, Brenda, to the show.
Thank you for having me, Lucy. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much. So maybe let's start with the first question of who or what experiences in your life have helped you to show up authentically.
I don't know if it's as much a who as the what's that I've experienced, but I will say that early on, I paid a lot of attention to how others were showing up and behaviors that I should emulate and things that I could do to present as positively as possible, or I'll say as intended. And what I realized probably early in my corporate career was that regardless of how much effort I put into trying to get in character, I'll say, or fit into a particular archetype or mold, there was a limit to how much impact that was going to have on my ability or capacity to be successful. And so it takes a lot of work, really, to morph into someone else. And so I realized that the best thing to do was just for me to be me. One of the early experiences that really taught me that was when I was in a situation where I was supervising people who were many years my senior. And I thought that I had to do all of these things to be more of a grown-up, right? And to, compensate for the fact that, I was this 20-year-old supervising people in their 40s and things like that. And I realized that if I just showed up as who I was and worked on building relationship with them and seeing them for who they were, that was a lot more effective.
That's just making me smile. I was actually reading a book this morning about authenticity, and it was just kind of saying how more and more in the workplace, we're going to have to get used to that dynamic, both as someone who's now on that latter end of the age scale, as well as new people starting, in terms of just like it, you don't get places now just based on seniority and experience. It's actually a huge recognition to people who are coming out, who've got the fresher, newer skills. And I really love that idea.
Yeah. In leadership development, we talk a lot about the continuum between influence and authority. And, certainly we really need to lean more in the direction of influence, which is all about impacting people based on who you are and the belief that they have in you, and less about hiding behind a position or formal authority or a title. Yeah.
Yeah, love it. And obviously, you've just spoken there about the fact you've coached a number of leaders. And I'm curious, as you've coached these leaders around potentially developing their own sort of personal self-leadership, what do you think from the experience that you've had so far makes it hard for people to be kind of confident in their own leadership style?
Fear. People are concerned about how they will be received. They're concerned about how they'll be perceived and, whether or not they'll be accepted. We talk a lot about psychological safety, which is a broader construct of trust, if you will, when you're speaking about a team or a group. And so people need to feel the comfort of compliance and acceptance. And when that is uncertain, or when they feel that's at risk, then that really mitigates their confidence, if you will, in really showing up fully, bringing their full selves to work.
Are there any sort of tips or tricks that you've picked up or shared that can help people make that kind of small step forward out of fear and into trying to experiment with something maybe a little bit different or new?
Well, you said it right there, experiment with something a little bit different or new. It's really about taking one step at a time. And so when I'm coaching someone around authenticity and really developing their leadership brand or personal style, we work together to kind of co-create a practice or an area that they can begin to focus on. And I think that once they begin to get traction, if you will, and they begin to just find comfort in doing things a little bit differently, you know, then they're on the path to really cultivating and developing that brand that's their own.
Yeah, that's really great. Thank you so much. And I'd love to ask you, if you don't mind, a couple of questions about your great book. And I'd love to just start with just what was the inspiration behind Access Denied?
Yes, thank you. You know, when I think of the word inspiration, I think of something very positive. I don't know that that was the impetus entirely for writing Access Denied. It was more of my response to what I interpreted as a call to action as a result of not only the events of the spring of 2020 here in the United States, but also the conversations that ensued. Conversations from a number of different voices in the room, if you will. The events, the fact that there was such a captive audience because we were on lockdown because of the pandemic, you know, it was a trigger for a lot of people to begin to reflect and talk about experiences that they'd had both in and out of the workplace. And then on the part of, you know, who I'll refer to as the larger populace, the more dominant group, you know, it was a time of awareness for many people who, you know, apparently were not aware that certain things were still happening, you know, with regard to race and diversity and lack of diversity and discrimination. And so I can't say that I was surprised by any of it, but I was very concerned about the continued pervasiveness or the degree of pervasiveness that I think we had kind of, you know, been lulled into thinking was a bit of a thing of the past. And so, you know, I don't have a platform. I'm not Oprah Winfrey. I'm not, you know, but I felt like I wanted to do something to start a meaningful conversation. And so what I thought about, you know, in coaching, we use a lot of metaphor and story. And I thought about just developing a compilation of stories with some reflection and coaching tools that might help people to think about some of these circumstances differently and take meaningful action.
Well, that certainly feels inspirational to me, Brenda, as you talk about that. I'm interested to see, obviously I'm not based in the US, and obviously what we get through the media is not always exactly what's happening, but have you seen changes since 2020, or do we kind of keep going through varying different cycles of raised awareness, then thinking it's all been resolved, back down, need a new set of awareness? I'm just kind of curious how you see it and how you've been experiencing it.
Yes, it's definitely cyclical. And, you know, there have been a few changes. I don't know if it's really meaningful change, because it seems like, I don't mean to be cliche, but one step forward, two steps back, right? You know, people like to say, well, you know, we've had a Black president and now we have a Black female vice president, but we're still, you know, grappling over the Voting Rights Act, you know, and things like that. And so I haven't seen what I would characterize as meaningful change.
Yeah. I loved how you described that, because I think people have such a tick box kind of mindset. Oh, exactly. We've done that. Tick. Yes. Oh, exactly. We can forget about it now.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, that's what I see a lot of organizations falling into. It's an expectation right now, and maybe not even as much right now, quite frankly, as it was 2 years ago when all of this was still very fresh in everyone's minds. But it's an expectation at some level that you speak to diversity and inclusion. And some organizations are doing that in a meaningful way, and others are just ticking the box.
No, 100%. And that nicely fits into the next question that I was thinking about, which is just many companies do have it as a very high priority. Certainly in the company I'm in at the minute, you can't probably go a week without something, some awareness campaign happening around diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I'd be curious to know from your experience what you think some of the barriers have been for companies to really be able to grapple this in a really meaningful way.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to hear that the organization you're associated with at least keeps it top of mind. The challenge here, Lucy, is that you can't change hearts and minds. Not to say that they can't change, but you can't mandate a change in how someone feels and someone's values and beliefs. And so much of this comes down to what I refer to as a cellular level, you know, the interactions between a manager and a direct report, you know, and the ability for someone to be fully engaged in a project or a decision and things like that. And so all organizations can do really is hold people accountable for the desired and expected behavior. And that's where I feel things fall short, because you can provide, you know, learning experiences and training and videos and all of those kinds of things. But if a person is resistant to that, that's hard to regulate. That's difficult to manage.
I think the other thing I found certainly shocking in conversations I've had is also when you see different people in different leadership situations, it's almost like you hear something comes with that as, oh, well, we've got to hit a quota. If it's a female, if it's an African-American person taking over X, Y, or Z role in our own company in other places. And I feel this really weird sense of shame almost that people feel, well, the only reason that people can get these kinds of roles is because they've got to tick a quota, that somebody's got to kind of change the mentality. At the same time, what I see, okay, there's another sort of middle-aged white man who's taking on some of these positions, everyone's like, oh, okay. So it's like you can't win either way. Like everybody's got a kind of story that they want to shed, whatever situation happens. Maybe that's just people just never happy with what decisions are made. But yeah, I find it quite fascinating that the way that different people kind of process information and how they're willing to kind of show up in that sense.
Absolutely. And you know, even when, you know, so that's why it's important to make a distinction between diversity and inclusion, because you can achieve diversity compliance by having the numbers, right?
Yeah.
The representation of women or minorities or whatever it is. But that's not the same as the allowing that person or those individuals to have meaningful impact and play a meaningful role. Unfortunately, there are still a lot of people, and it's not just in the United States, we're seeing it globally, right? But there are a lot of people who feel a sense of superiority, and they feel that any credit toward achieving diversity and greater inclusion is a debit for them. And you know, I don't know that we'll get away from that, certainly in my lifetime, but that's the challenge. That's the challenge. Yeah.
If we go back to kind of the book and your experience today, what way to kind of help people unlock and give them sort of control of the power of their story? I think what, you know, with the book, with the story kind of idea, it's just, it's really lovely to be able to kind of get into that. And we had Larry Chavis also share the kind of power of story.
Yeah.
Are there any kind of thoughts you've got around that idea?
I do. First of all, you know, one of the reasons and one of the things I present out of the gate in the introduction to the book, as I said, you know, I wrote this really for a primary and a secondary audience. Primary audience certainly is people who see themselves in the stories that are shared. And one thing I said, you know, one, I want you to know that you're not crazy. What is happening, what you think is happening is really happening, because there's a tremendous amount of gaslighting that takes place in these situations. The second thing is that you're not alone. You know, so many of us are raised, surrounded by loving families and support networks and friends who, you know, acknowledge and applaud our education and experience and things like that. And you walk into an organization, particularly as a young person, thinking that you've got it. You've got all that it takes to be successful and move forward. And then you're in park. You know, nothing happens, or there's a limit to the advancement that you experience relative to your peers who don't look like you. Okay. Yes. And so, you know, one of the things that I think is empowering the stories is it gives people an opportunity to look at something more objectively, get out of their own head, and really think about alternative approaches. There are a lot of things that we leave on the table, quite frankly. And it starts with setting the right expectations. So don't expect to have the same experience as your peer, potentially, number one. Not necessarily right or fair, but it is just the way it is, right?
Sure.
And two, you know, what kind of things can I do differently? What kind of relationships can I build? How can I think about this more strategically? You know, what is it? What other options are there for me? And so I think that was my intention in sharing the stories, and that's how I hope the book and the content of the book is being used as a resource.
I know when I was asking around, I think people have also found the book helpful from conversations I've had for book clubs.
Yes, yes.
To stem that same kind of conversation for people. So if you're looking for a new book club read as well, I highly recommend. And I guess, have you had any unexpected revelations, things that you found out either about yourself or from others as you've kind of shared and talked about the book?
Unexpected revelations. Well, it's interesting. When I was in initial conversations with publishers, the first thing they want to do for marketing is trying to figure out, you know, what category. Is it a business book? I said, I don't know that I would classify this business book. You know, it might be offensive to some business leaders. And if that's the case, that's okay. What has surprised me is that there have been some organizations and institutions that have taken interest in the book, that have purchased the book in number for their leadership teams to read and discuss, and have used it as a means of having deeper conversations. And so, you know, there are one or two reactions. One to say, I had no idea, you know, and I never looked at it this way, never thought about it this way. Here's some things we can do differently. And then there's a whole nother group that looks at it and say, that's too bad. And they just move on, right? So they're really not willing to do the work. And you know, that's the distinction. You know, it's an opportunity, as I said, for people to consider options and make different choices if they're so inclined.
I think this is what I really love about books and why I kind of included the book club within part of this podcast, because I think, you know, I love watching movies as well, and my husband's a massive movie buff, so we always watch that. But there's a massive layer of information just kind of missing when you watch a movie versus when you actually kind of really get into the depths of character of a book. And I find it fascinating, that sort of, yeah, just a different kind of connection that you get through reading through books. So thanks. So I'd love to just ask you what your challenge of the week could be.
You know, I think that for the reasons that we've talked about here over the last few minutes and many others, people are in a place where they're locking down into their comfort zone. So many things are changing so quickly around us that we're trying to find a comfortable place. And I think that I hate to be so dramatic and use the word danger, but I think that there is some danger associated with that. And I think that we've all got to be willing in this day and time to increase our risk tolerance. And so my challenge is to do something that makes you uncomfortable, and to get find comfort in being uncomfortable, because that discomfort is a space for learning and growth and to increase and create awareness. That could be getting to know someone who is different from you, who is in a different discipline, you know, learning about someone in your organization that you don't often interact with, but really just stretch yourself and do something to push yourself out of your comfort zone. And I would encourage that, you know, just like we talk about regular exercise, I think that that's something that we have to plan to do regularly to kind of broaden our horizons.
I've already got, as you were saying, it's really naughty. I shouldn't be thinking while people talk. I should be concentrating, but my mind's already like, oh, I know who I should be talking to. This will be a really interesting conversation to have. So thank you for, hopefully others listening will start having the same sparks going in their brain as well.
It's done. My work is done. But, you know, it's so important. You know, and people say to me, I have this conversation with clients a fair amount, and people will say, well, you know, I don't have a reason to call her. You know, I don't have anything to talk to her about. I said, perfect. Just call. Because guess what? One day there'll be an urgent situation that you need her participation in, and that's not the time to get to know people. So you want to work on building a relationship and having some meaningful rapport before that happens. Yeah,
I was literally just talking to someone about a similar thing the other day where they were asking about who they should be connecting with. And I'd said, well, you know, are you connecting with varying different kind of leaders across the groups? And they were like, well, just the people in the team. And I was like, well, what happens when you've got something that's really important that has to get raised? You do not want to be having tough conversations with people when things are bad. You want to kind of build those relationships when things are in a great, happy space. And then that just makes things so much, so much smoother. So I think it's such a powerful tool, just the power of kind of network and just of conversation, even if it's, as you say, 20 minutes, half an hour, it doesn't have to be long, but the fact that you've reached out and that somebody kind of knows that you're interested in them and you're curious to kind of find out where, because everyone has got some similarity. That's what I love about those kinds of games that you kind of play when it's get to know you or get to know teams. And it's like find a commonality and, you know, everyone's suddenly got a cat or somebody's kind of got a red car or something very random that you didn't necessarily need to know about.
Exactly.
But it's just a lovely way to be able to show that you can all connect.
Yes. And I think now we've got to be more intentional about that. Even before we went to a primarily remote or hybrid, you know, work environment, the fact that we're all so reliant on technology and most of our communication is either, you know, by email or text or an app, you know, like, you know, WhatsApp or Slack or something like that. So we don't have conversations anymore, you know, and even if you're on the elevator with someone or you're walking to, you know, the tube or something like that, you're on your phone. Hi. And then you're back on your phone, you know, so nobody's talking. And so, you know, you don't realize what an impediment that becomes until you really have to engage with someone as humans, right? Like we used to do to each other. So,
Yeah. I was reading something the other day, not even just about the human connection, but just about not being able to sit in our own company for 5 minutes.
Right.
And I know I've sometimes challenged myself when I've been somewhere or been out for dinner with a friend or my husband and they've gone to the toilet to be like, do not pick up your phone. Just sit with yourself and sit with your thoughts that you don't need to be distracted. And it is amazing how difficult that is.
Yeah.
A few minutes and it's really difficult. So yeah. Anyway, I've got a little bit distracted there. So sorry, Brenda.
That's all right. I'm glad that it's resonating with you. So, you know, I appreciate it. Affirmation.
And last but not least, a song that has had a kind of impact in your life and why you've chosen that song.
You know, my response to this question has likely changed over the years, but a song within the last few years in particular that has really just touched me in a special place is a song called I Wish, and it's by the great Stevie Wonder. Mm-hmm. It came on one day, and it's one of those things, you know, I hadn't heard it in many years, and I heard it all of a sudden, and it just took me back. But the song is about reminiscing. He talks about, you know, looking back on when he was a boy and the things he used to do and things like that. And it's a very upbeat, lively, energetic song. And it just made me start to think about how much time has passed, days gone by, but more importantly, with things that have happened more recently, the necessity to maintain or reestablish some of those old connections and really, you know, because he says, I wish those days could come back, right? I wish we were back there. You know, you don't realize how wonderful a time it was, you know, at the time, right? You didn't realize. And now you're looking back, reflecting on what a great time it was. So just trying to recreate those happy times.
Aww. And has it made you go back and do something from childhood or reconnect with people that you haven't spoken to for a while? Or has it kind of
it
changed
has.
Something in you?
Yes, it has. You know, there are people that from my childhood, there's a friend that I was in Girl Scouts with that I've, you know, reconnected with more regularly. You know, he says, I wish those days could come back once more, you know, and so just revisiting things we used to do. One of the things that I don't believe I'm going to say this on this podcast, but one of the things I used to love to do growing up was jump double dutch. And I have jumped double dutch fairly recently as an adult, but it's been a few years. And I recently found out about a 40-plus double dutch club. It's a legion of women all across the United States, perhaps outside of the U.S. as well, who come together and they jump double dutch. They play a lot of childhood games together, and just a beautiful premise of sisterhood, you know, and support and things like that. And so I'm looking forward to engaging with a group in my area to get back to something, doing something that I loved as a young person, as a child.
Oh, I love that. I love that. What a beautiful place to end. So just a huge big thanks, Brenda, for your time and your openness to share your story and journey and the wonder of your book. I'm definitely, as you saw, excited to get going, not just with the weekly challenge, but just trying to think a little bit more about, I think something that's really resonated with me as you were talking is that piece about really trying to make sure that as we think about diversity, we have to make sure that the inclusion is equally as strong, if not potentially in some ways, maybe slightly stronger, as I start to think about and reflect on that a little bit more myself. So just thank you for sharing all of your thoughts and your song with us. I will definitely put that on the car as I drive home this evening. And for everybody listening, I hope you enjoyed the content. You have a really great week. Don't forget to hit subscribe or follow if you enjoyed the content. And I look forward to speaking to you next week. And remember, as always, authenticity is a continual journey. Small steps can make a big impact. Take care.